What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Swans Big Footy Podcast. My name is Bonds. Joining me today is SM, Vaughn.
Hello.
And from the Collingwood board is Gutsy Bug.
Yeah, hello.
Now we've... Now, for this week's review, we're actually going to be reviewing Franklin and Hanbury's misdemeanors during the week. Vaughn, do you want to take us away?
Yes, you know what? So much has been made about Hannah's off-season and the borrowing car, all of that incident. For me, it's always been like, when you look at a media news story, I always ask myself, if these people weren't in the position that they were in, i.e. AFL footballers, would it still be news? And for me, a friend borrowing someone else's car and crashing it is not news. So I think it's just been completely overblown and, you know, it's just complete rubbish to me.
Alex, what are your thoughts on the situation? In particular, Ryan O'Keefe and Lance Franklin's boxing match.
I was disgusted at that, hearing that they came to blows, but then I you know, when I found out that it was in jest, it was slightly better. But look, I mean, everyone's going to kind of make a joke about Franklin's involvement in the club in terms of the fact that it's a disruptive influence. So it's good to see. It's good to see that the club's making a joke of it, because the media is just completely blowing it out of proportion, as Vaughn's saying, and it's just ridiculous that, I mean, I've had a crack at him about his on-field behaviour, but I think off-field, he hasn't been that out of line, and as the club's saying, look, I mean, every player's going to, you know, have a bit of fun every now and then, lending his car to Hanbury is hardly newsworthy, and I think it was good to see. I think it was AFL.com took the piss out of it with their article about the boxing routine.
I was actually thinking about during the week, if Ryan O'Keefe was actually having a boxing match with Franklin, I would fear for Franklin. When Ryan O'Keefe gets it to...
Really? I'd back Franklin in that.
He might be bigger, but when Ryan O'Keefe has combat eyes on or off the field, he's scary.
I think Franklin would be too busy admiring himself in the mirror or something like that. I don't know if I can make jokes like that, because now he's a Swan, I'm meant to be all for him, but... awkward.
In all seriousness, do any of you guys actually think that Franklin's having an actual impact on our club's culture?
Oh, no. It'll all be fine in the end, I think.
That's an outsider's opinion of it.
Yeah, so. That's Collingwood supporters' opinion. Unbiased.
Unbiased Collingwood supporter.
What's your take on it?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes, Gutsy Bug.
I really don't care, but I just, he's not, the whole 9-year, 10 million, it's not, it's just a contract, and I mean, it won't affect your culture or your depth at all. It means nothing. It's just a good player playing for a good team. It's fine.
I'm actually going to play devil's advocate here and actually say that I think we would be naive to believe that everyone at the club is happy with his contract, because, I mean, it would be kind of a given that people are taking pay cuts to stay with Sydney. So if we're just taking someone in on Franklin, I don't know about it actually affecting our culture. But, you know, I know it's contradictory to the fact we've had lots of re-signings lately, which is really good news. But definitely, I don't think everyone at the club is going to be happy about it. Whether or not they're important players, though, is a different story.
Yeah, at every club, there's the couple who are just like, oh, no, he's crap. But, you know, it'll all be fine in the end.
I have to agree with Gutsy Bug there. At every club in the league or in any workplace you'll find in real life, there is always going to be someone else that disagrees with how the club is being run, what the pay wages are of each players. Like,
it's just a part of life, really. I mean,
there wouldn't
don't get on and have something to deal with that.
There would have been some players last year that would have disagreed with Tippett's contract, and that didn't seem to really affect us on field. Yes, we fell apart with injuries, but I don't think we can blame that on Tippett last year.
And I mean, at the end of the day, I saw an interesting stat, I can't remember which game it was during, that since 2010, I think of every player in the league, Franklin's had the most score involvements. And someone was saying on the main board, I think, that You know, he doesn't just become a crap player overnight. So I think even just looking at the on-field stuff, and this is even in response to myself, I guess, from last week, you can't really write him off after one round one game. So it'll be interesting to see how he settles into the team. But see, I do think that the media is kind of overblowing it all.
Yeah, see, everyone, a lot of Hawks fans especially, I do see their point structurally that, you know, I guess they're not really missing him. But I refuse to believe that no AFL club is going to be better off without a player like Franklin. Like, that is just inconceivable to me, that that's a player would actually say, yeah, we don't want him.
Yeah, Collingwood would love him. Because he destroys us regularly. So.
It's that old theory. I do enjoy that, you know, if he takes apart your team regularly, then you may as well recruit him and get him in the team so he can't hurt you.
Yeah.
That's probably what we did.
Admittedly, Franklin's record against the Swans isn't actually the worst. Isn't the greatest. He's got his record against Essendon in Collingwood, for instance, would be far greater.
Yeah, like, let's not dwell on that, please.
I can't remember too many games where he played against us and really torn us a new one. Unlike Lockett in the early 90s, he'd really made Sydney his personal playthings nearly.
Almost the biggest game that Franklin played against us was in the 12 grand final when he kicked those two goals from outside 50. I mean, I can't think of too many other games where he's really sort of kicked some crazy goals against us or turned the game in their favour.
I mean, last year he kicked a combined 5-2 against you. So
there you go, yeah, exactly.
It's not that much of an impact.
Plus we also played 3 games, so, you know, it's nothing.
He missed the first final against us due to suspension, so that was only 2 matches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's round 21 and round 7 then. Yeah.
Apart from that, look, in all honesty, I can't see him affecting the club's culture too much. From what I've heard, if anything, yes, we are going by Swans, biased media articles or fans from the club who have turned up to training. He actually seems to be buying into the club and training quite well when he turns up.
I think it's almost a case of small poppy syndrome that it almost seems like all the journalists in the media are just looking for an excuse to jump on and attack the Swans, because
just
it just
media.
Yeah, exactly. And
it's not just the Swans; it's every club.
I guess so.
Oh no, some clubs do have their favourites in the media. I haven't seen too many negative North Melbourne articles.
Well, to be honest, who supports them too? It's kind of it's not worth it.
But it's just spun up overnight.
Vaughn, keep speaking.
Yeah, so I was just going to say that I also think that we have to think about it from, like, a player's perspective. You know, we're fans. If we actually put ourselves in a position when we're at a footy club, you know, if we're 22, 23, you know, we're earning a ridiculous amount of money, you just want to go out and have a good time with your mates, you know. So I don't actually feel as though the players themselves would get as involved in technicalities and in all of the drama that the media does and the supporters do. So I have no doubt that he's getting along well with players like Hanabry and all of that stuff because, you know, they're young guys. Why wouldn't they get along?
Better words couldn't be spoken. Anyways, what do you guys actually believe about the rest? Not just this. We're not going to talk about the Swans GWS match anymore. But some of the other
that happened.
That hasn't happened. But from some of the other round one results from this weekend, pending the West Coast Western Bulldogs match, which is being played as we record, do you guys believe that any of the results will really affect our aspirations for top four? SM, do you want to take us away?
Yeah, I mean, the results have all gone pretty much to the script, except for arguably the Port Carlton result last weekend, and I mean, maybe the Melbourne St Kilda match, but I mean, that's not too surprising. I guess also the Essendon North, but that, I think, was always pretty 50-50 game.
Gold Coast Richmond.
Obviously, yeah, mainly Richmond this weekend, I guess. But, I mean, I can't look at the results and see too many games where you really think that either top four teams can be written off or, you know, there's a surprise team that could kind of put up to top four just yet. I mean, it all seems pretty par for the course. I mean, Essendon remains to be seen how they go because, obviously, under Bomber, they're going to play a bit differently to they did last year. So I guess we'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting round for sure. It's been interesting to see the new styles of play. I think West Coast in that first half against the Bulldogs are starting to look quite dangerous, and they're a smoky for top four this year. But yeah, remains to be seen.
Yeah, they're up by 39 points.
Yeah, it's not going too well for the Bulldogs.
In all honesty, I think the other team we may actually have to look out for, yes, they faded late against Geelong, but I was quite impressed by Adelaide's performance for the first three quarters. They kept up with them away from home, and
I think that boys had quite a good record there, though, haven't they?
I think you're thinking of Port. I can't remember Adelaide winning too many times at Skills Stadium.
And not against Geelong.
Geelong have only lost, I think, two there, so nah, I'm pretty sure, or it's not.
Not a great record either.
For some reason, I thought that maybe I'm thinking of at Amy Stadium, they might have a better record.
Yeah, it's probably there. To be honest, I think that Geelong playing at Subiaco or Simmons is a bit, it's kind of unfair. I don't really like it.
It seems a bit odd that they're the only ones that have a suburban ground, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of like Collingwood playing at
Victoria
Park. Yeah, but a bit more roomy. It's not roomy. Yeah, it's not completely fair to all of the clubs that play there.
Admittedly, at the same time, you're going to get players who would rather live in Melbourne than live in Geelong, and I don't think the AFL would have that. Like, they would with some of their contractual ground agreements, but once they own Etihad Stadium, if some teams want to build up a boutique stadium that could actually fit enough fans, I don't think the AFL will go ahead and stopping it. The only reason Optus Oval isn't being used is just because it fits, 14,000 people now? Since the stands got taken down?
I'm not sure.
Like, I can't see.
It would be interesting. I think I remember talking on the main board podcast at the start of the season about the possibility of getting suburban grounds back. I just think that the maintenance and upkeep would just be too expensive. Wouldn't quite be worth it.
Mm. At the end of the day, the AFL is a business, and whatever maximises their revenue, i.e. big grounds, lots of attendance, they're going to do it, whether it's fair or not. Like, that's just the bottom line, I think.
I think the only thing that they might look at in Melbourne is introducing a, 30,000-seat stadium or something, just for those really small games between, Melbourne's and North Melbourne's or something like that.
That'd be good. Yeah, that'd be quite handy.
Do people even watch North Melbourne? Can't they just play on their training ground and have, five people turn up?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah.
I was actually at Arden Street yesterday for a fencing competition. Actual training venue isn't that spectacular. They talk it up heaps, but there's only one bathroom or set of change rooms in the whole building that the actual public share with the players. I am not joking.
That is
ridiculous.
That's
And aren't those facilities quite new?
They're quite new, and the best thing is, the biggest room at Arden Street, the biggest set of room, the only area that I can really have a kick indoors in, is owned by Fencing Victoria, not North Melbourne.
So that surprises me, because the amount of stuff I've read from North Melbourne supporters on Big Footy, no names, it just sounds as though they're training in, the most first-class facilities I've ever heard of. And if they don't even have a second bathroom, then I don't even know what to say.
Second set of change rooms. We could
have. Same thing.
So you've got the players and the fencing guys changing in the same bit then, do you? That's just
pretty much. Actually, we saw Daniel Wells check in today and yesterday, and their new father's pick McDonald. He was running laps of the oval, but and people were actually just having a kick on the oval, and he's doing sprints. I thought that was quite interesting. I didn't think they'd allow the general public, but I guess that's just due to the agreement that they've got with the Victorian government.
Yeah, only at North, though.
Only at North. Pretty confident you couldn't go around to Amy Park. I even named Collingwood with Amy Park, correct me if you're wrong, but there are a lot of open facilities there. There are physios that can be visited by the general public, and you can use the gyms and everything.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah. So
and they've shared all the grounds and the training facilities with Melbourne Victory, so, and I think Melbourne Storm as well now, or?
I don't know about those. That's, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. Look, we may as well actually go into previewing the Pies game this weekend. Well, Gussie Bug, do you want to actually take us away? How do you honestly feel that Collingwood are going to line up for this game? What changes are you going to make?
Well, we both played pretty crap against in round one, right? So we all have to make a few changes. But for us, I think outs, we got Jared Witts, Tyson Goldsack, Marty Clark, and Jack Frost. Pretty much. These players didn't make an impact, or they were just, terrible, apart from Witts, who's just too tall. And I believe that Sid and the Aunts have a taller team than Fremantle, those. And then Inns, we'll have Ben Reid, Jesse White, Sam Dwyer, and Lockie Keefe.
Sam Dwyer got best on ground on the VFL on the weekend, correct?
He did, yes, he did. He's quite a good player. But Reid and White, we miss them severely because we operate a three-prong all the and Cloak, he's not... He was getting a quadruple team against the best defence in the competition. It just didn't work. But with White, who... White as
who we all know.
We know how he plays quite well.
He's very quick.
Oh, he's just some spud. Don't worry about him.
Well,
I think
him and pick 22 would be worth a tip.
Don't be ridiculous. No one's going to trade for him and pick 22.
And Ben Reid, who has proven to be a very effective full forward. I think he kicked like three against you guys last game, four maybe. I don't know. But yeah,
I think Root's quite interesting up forward for you guys.
Oh, well, he's interesting in the back line too, because he have a crap back line.
I don't know. That's actually what I wanted to say. I've seen Reid play up forward, and he's quite an asset, but against our tall forward line, I don't think Collingwood can afford to throw him up forward.
With our forward line this week, if Tippett doesn't get up...
Is Tippett playing? Because that all depends on that. Because I think Keith could take a Tippett and then we could... Well, so is a Tippett up then?
In all honesty, we're not sure with this one's injury reports. We've got conflicting reports every 2 days. One report will say that he's out for 4 weeks. Next day we'll hear he might be up for the Collingwood game and he's playing. We're so unsure. Kind of like
Beans then, because he...
The Sydney Swans injury list as at the 18th, so about 3 days ago, has Tippett on 2 to 3 weeks. So if he was even a chance of playing, you'd think he'd be test.
Yeah. Right, well, in that case, I think Keith, he's like a 202 centimetres, so he couldn't take Buddy. So, yeah, he would have to play back on Lance to try and make him not crucify us. Because he's done that a lot of times. He's kicked like 6 goals, 5 goals. But,
I've
got
a question, Gutsy Bug. I watched Collingwood Fremantle as well, and you said that who was the out? Frost was out?
Frost, yeah.
That actually really surprises me because I was quite impressed by him. Or maybe I'm getting the people mixed up. Was that a bit of a surprise when he was dropped, or?
Frost, he actually played okay, but it's just a case of Keith is better. Frost was only brought in because Keith hadn't played in the preseason like at much, so. Frost, he played okay, but he's not number one choice, though.
So would you say then Keith is probably a bit underdone?
Yes. I think he played in the VFL, though, so he should be okay now, but, well, it's all a touch and go, really. So if he plays good, well, it's fine. Yeah, but moving on, we you have Dwyer, who is just an X actor. He can make things happen. I believe a few times in 2013, without Dwyer, we would have been smashed. And he will just... He's not big on stats, but he's just big on pressure. He just applies lots and lots of pressure. And we severely lacked pressure against Fremantle. We got crucified. Yes, so moving on.
Is there a chance that Blair could come in today? I mean, Blair, Pasolo, and Keith, and Dwyer, who was obviously best on ground, were some of your better performers in the VFL today. Keith, who was also named in the best, so I think he will probably come in for you guys. Hopefully he's a little bit underdone, but we'll see about that. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, but I think Solo, Thomas and Blair, and apparently, because according to Trade Draft, who is posted on our board, he's also, what am I trying to say, they've not played enough yet, so then apparently another week in the EFL and they should be okay to go. So... in 2 weeks, as a match.
So we don't need to worry about him.
Well, I hope you do, but I don't think so, no. Probably won't be playing.
Okay. SM, what changes do you believe the Swans will make this weekend?
Pardon? I just had a bit of a fear there.
So what was that, Pons?
What changes do you believe the Swans will make this weekend?
Look, it's a hard one. The team as a whole was pretty poor against JWS, so it's hard to really point fingers at individuals. The only changes that I'd really make, you know, you're looking at players like Brandon Jacks and maybe Kirk if he's fit, though I don't think he will be. I mean, if LRT is injured, you obviously might bring in someone like a Nankervis or a Derricks for their debut. But apart from injuries... I don't actually think there's many players to really change. I mean, I'd obviously start O'Keefe. I don't think he should have been sub. I think maybe make someone like Cunningham the sub instead. I guess I'd go with LRT out for... I'd say Nankervis because I prefer Nankervis. But it'll probably be someone like Derricks because he's more experienced at AFL level. So LRT out for Derricks and make Cunningham the sub for O'Keefe.
What about Kieran Jack? Do you believe he'll get up?
Of course. How can I forget my mate Kieran Jack? Because he was a late out, I wasn't even thinking of him as not making the team. Definitely bring in Kieran Jack, no question. Maybe Cunningham just makes like full stop and you make someone like Jetta the sub. I'm not sure. I mean, Jetta doesn't seem to have the impact these days that he used to. So making the sub, getting him into the action a bit that way, or maybe Rowan. I guess one of those two, inject a bit of pace off the substitute bench.
I honestly think... I hope they bring in Nankervis, but I think they're going to bring in Derricks this week. Pike Wiles is a great ruckman, and I'm not doubting him for a second. I don't think he's quite had the pre-season, so he didn't have the endurance to run out of the GWS game, and with LRT possibly nursing a groin injury, I do think we need to bring in a second ruckman. So I honestly think... I think we're going to drop Ryan O'Keefe. I don't want us to, but I think the Swans will.
So why would you think that we're going to drop him, though? What would be the cause of that?
Just the fact that... Just the general media we've been getting out of it, that we're worrying about his speed. And whilst Longmire is saying that he will be a great... He will be an asset for us this year and he'll play matches... At the same point, Collingwood have got a... It also depends if there's a right matchup for him. I think Pendlebury's obviously going to have... Actually, I'm not sure.
I think O'Keefe matches up on Pendlebury traditionally and does a pretty good job of it. So I think the matchup is there. And another thing is when I look at the Collingwood team, I think their forward line is pretty average. You know, they have, not pretty average, but you know what I mean. They have Cloak, and that was something that I thought that really stood out to me in the Fremantle game, that they didn't have that many avenues to goal. And even though they're going to be bringing Jesse White, who we all don't know anything about, and Reid back in, I still feel as though it's their midfield. And against GWS, our team just, it didn't look as strong. It just didn't look as quick or anything like that. So I really hope we bring Ryan O'Keefe in to take care of Pendlebury, because he has always done a pretty good job of him. Kieran Jack is definitely in for me as well. And another thing that I thought maybe we didn't really, I guess, fully appreciate was Mumford's absence. I just had a quick look at the statistics, and we lost a lot of the hit-outs to GWS. So I would really like us to bring in pretty much what you two both said, Nankervis, ideally. I just thought that Ryan O'Keefe, I really hope he plays.
I hope he plays. I'm just worried that if he has actually lost the speed that the club is saying, I'm not sure if he'll be able to go with Pendlebury. Pendlebury's agility and his general movement, not to mention
his main asset.
Is his main asset, and if Ryan keeps missing any speed or agility whatsoever, he's going to get torn a new one.
But I don't think Ryan O'Keefe was ever that quick to start off with. Like, it's not as though, you know, he went from like a Rowan to like a Pike.
He wasn't a quick player, but he could burn off people with his endurance, and he had some speed behind him. If he's dropped even a second or two off his speed, that's going to be pretty crucial against a player like Pendlebury or Swan or anyone in Collingwood's midfield.
Swan is probably the quickest in the league off a few steps. So, yeah, if he's not quick, he'll be lost pretty quick.
I'm honestly not sure how we're going to man up on Collingwood's midfield this weekend. I think we're either going to have to move Nick Smith into the midfield as a tagging role, or we're going to have to use someone left field.
I'd actually like to see them just go head-to-head, back our midfield, why not? Just put a hard tag on someone like... You know, I was actually thinking maybe even someone like Benny could...
Ben McGlynn could work. I'd rather see McGlynn on Swan rather than Pendlebury.
Not Pendlebury.
I don't think he'd quite work on Pendlebury.
Not on Pendlebury, is a bit too short.
Isn't like Pendlebury nearly 191 centimetres, 192?
Yeah, he's pretty not tall.
Yeah.
Tall and quick, and that's not too...
It's not all about height, guys.
Well, if McGlynn is against Pendlebury in a marking contest, I fear for his life.
I wouldn't fear for his life, but I'd fear for his playing future.
But I do think we need to bring in a second ruckman this week. I just think maybe we've got to keep Laidler and Rampy in, just because if Collingwood are bringing in Jesse White and Ben Reid, then that's an issue. So I think it will be Cunningham and possibly Ryan O'Keefe or Kieran Jack and Derek or Nankervis.
Do you really need two rucks, though? Because
if we're... LRT. LRT. We've got him. Hopefully he's fit.
He's good, but he's young. He can't really play against an experienced ruck for a full match.
But at the same time, we wouldn't really have anyone else to be that backup ruckman if LRT was out.
And the main reason we're saying Nankervis ahead of Derek's is because he's actually quite effective at resting up forward, as he's shown in the reserves, the pre-season, our intra-clubs, and through under-18s form last year. He was a mature-age recruit, and if we can possibly keep him up forward, even in the square, and use Franklin up the ground, that might force you to actually use Ben Reid in defence instead of the forward line.
Which is crucial, because he can be an X-factor.
And that would help us with our defence, because that would allow Grundy and Richards to man up on
Clark. Oh, Heath Grundy, I see.
Yes, but Heath Grundy.
Kind of confused there.
I think...
Grundy.
I think... I liked what Layla did last week in parts, and I know that we should be getting some consistency, in the half-back line, especially if we want to go deep into finals. We need that strong defence. But I don't know. For some reason, I would like to see... I know it probably won't happen because Layla, for his age and experience, will get it over Cunningham. But I've made it a really big point that I was so keen to see Cunningham, and I actually would so much rather Layla be dropped than Cunningham would, because I really want him to... string a few games together. But as we can tell from the sub last week, the pecking order is still not like that. But I guess that's just wishful thinking.
Hopefully, Collingwood do have a pretty... whilst they've got some speed in Pendlebury and Swan that have been cut up by some faster teams over the last few years.
Down quite a bit in the past a couple of years, but I still think that we're pretty quick. So hopefully we can be quick. Because against Fremantle, I think if Sydney can apply like near the amount of pressure that Fremantle did, I think Uber will win easily because we just fell apart completely. It just exposed us. It was terrible. But if you don't, then it's going to be close.
Unfortunately, GWS had us under a fair bit of pressure last week.
Yeah, and true. We crumbled a little. Really so. Crap losses both ways, really. Yeah, it's not...
It'll be interesting to see how the two teams come out this week, I guess, in response to those losses.
Although I feel, to be fair, Collingwood losing to Fremantle, it was an awful performance put up by Collingwood, but it's definitely... Yeah. I feel Sydney have just a little bit more to prove losing to a side like GWS. And I was going to say something I completely forgot now. Someone take over.
SM, do you have any thoughts on the match and how it'll actually go?
I can never be too confident coming up against the Pies, given our record against the Pies over the last 10 years or so. But I think it'll be a really tight game. I think both sides are going to be very keen and up for the win. And with no disrespect to our lovely guest, I thought the Collingwood were actually pretty average against Freo. And that's not taking away from... Yeah, I mean... Freo did a very good job, but just the way that the Pies seemed to set up, they left a lot of space, a lot of room for the Freo to run into. And I mean, if we can take advantage of that through guys like Jeddah and Rowan, even if he's in the team, I do see us getting over the top, but it's going to be an interesting one.
There was a lot of parallels. This is what I wanted to say. I wanted to say I felt in the Fremantle game they played, there was a few parallels with the game we played against them with that Goods controversy. I know that shadow, that kind of overshadowed a lot about how he played, but I felt as though that was very similar. Fremantle cut Collingwood down with their consistent pressure and their run off half back, and that was what let them set up goals. So if we can replicate what we did last year as well as what Fremantle did last week, I am going to be tipping us. But thank you, Sydney, for proving to me last week you can never, ever be sure of anything.
It was a pretty bad loss. Anyway, in my opinion, I think it'll be a close-ish match, but I think that Sydney, in the end, will win, but by under 3 or so goals. So close, but you guys will clinch it in the last quarter.
Can I ask you something? Whilst we've got a Collingwood, an actual Collingwood fan an on who only has Collingwood as their team as opposed to someone like me.
Yeah.
Does Nathan Brown the Collingwood curse, do you guys still feel that applies? I mean, we've won a few, like not a lot, but we've won a few, but do you still think of Sydney as, you know, the team you've got the wood over?
No, definitely not. It's
no?
No. It's stupid. I mean, it's all about how that the teams play. It's a curse is a stupid. Stupid. So no, I think that Sydney are good and they're probably better. So the previous games have nothing to do with it. It's just, it's pointless.
Fair enough.
That was a silence and a half, that was.
It certainly was. In all honesty, I think that it'll be a close match for the first half with hopefully Sydney pulling out away in the second. I do think whoever wins will win by over 30 points. One team's going to drop away in the second half. I'm just hoping it isn't us. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that tradition, that's been our problem over the last few games, hasn't it? I mean, straight back to last year, is we can't seem to get that four-quarter effort going. So I think if we drop off against the Pies, it could get very interesting.
It'll be a good match.
Hopefully it's a good match. Hopefully no injuries, no reports, as always.
Yep.
Anyways, I just want to thank Gutsy Bug for coming on this week. You've once again listened to the Swans podcast. This is Bond, who I've been joined by SM, Von, and Gutsy Bug. Thank you for listening, and good night.